Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have our eyes on the skies. While things are quiet now, the WRAL severe weather team is tracking storm chances for tonight and a severe risk for tomorrow. Good evening and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Well, you can see storms are starting to make their way closer to our area here. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with what we can expect. Anthony.
Julian, as we head into tonight, overall that coverage is going to remain pretty limited. So if you're headed out for any Sunday evening plans, it's going to be pretty isolated. But let's talk about what we're seeing right now. Mainly our southern areas. That's where we have some light showers, a couple thunderstorms out there, but nothing severe at this point. Southern Pines in your direction, there's a few light sprinkles. And then even to the south, that's where we're talking about the best coverage. Lorenberg, and as you head out of our viewing area, that's kind of where we're seeing the best shower activity at this point. There are a few still hanging on just to the southeast there of Kinston, again, out of our viewing area, but you notice that line moving toward Goldsboro. That's what we call the sea breeze, and that could spark up a few more showers and storms here through tonight. Tomorrow, though, as we head into the day, we're going to have another chance of them as we push through into the afternoon, starting off relatively quiet. There's 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, but as we go through future cast here, some of those could be on the stronger side Monday afternoon into the evening. We are outlined in a level 1 out of 5 risk from the Storm Prediction Center. We will go over this in detail, Julian, and show you some relatively milder temperatures on the way here in just a few minutes.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. Arrest warrants have been issued for two men accused of holding a Durham couple hostage in their very own home, robbing them of more than $150,000. On Thursday, arrest warrants were issued for Gerard Gabriel C. Mungle and Remy Ross St. Felix, two of the three men involved. WRAL's Shelly Jackson joins us live from Durham. And Shelly, this reads almost like a movie script, the warrant, that is.
It sure does, Jillian. Details in this 13-page warrant are pretty shocking. Prosecutors say two men traveled from Florida, spent 3 days surveilling the house before finally making their move.
Authorities say two men accessed the couple's home around 7:30 a.m. on April 12th. Pretending to be construction workers chucking pipes. The couple, both 76 years old, were restrained with zip ties. And according to the warrant, perpetrator one, Elmer Ruben Castro, dragged the wife by her legs into the bathroom. And perpetrator two, Remy Ross St. Felix, forced the husband, at gunpoint, to log into his Coinbase cryptocurrency account. Prosecutors say St. Felix was on the phone with a third man, Jared Gabriel Simmengol, who told St. Felix how to have the husband transfer the money from his account. Prosecutors say Simmengol knew details about the husband's account, which led them to believe that it had been previously compromised. Over the next 45 minutes, the men allegedly stole $156,853 in three transactions. A fourth transaction was flagged and denied by Coinbase, according to the complaint. The husband says St. Felix threatened to cut off his toes and genitalia, to shoot him and rape his wife if he didn't access his Coinbase account. Prosecutors say they have phone records showing the three men planned the robbery.
Now the warrant charges two of the men with kidnapping and conspiracy to commit kidnapping. Their arrest warrants were issued last week. The complaint does not list Castro as a subject at the moment. Julian?
So disturbing. Shelly Jackson reporting live for us in Durham tonight. Thank you. Police in Fayetteville have arrested two men in connection to a deadly shooting. Officers arrested a pair of brothers, Devontae and Adrian McLean, for the death of Lorenzo McLaughlin. McLaughlin was shot yesterday on Stanberry Street. Police say after communication on social media, the McLeans drove to where McLaughlin was and shot him. Both are charged with first-degree murder and felony conspiracy. We have new information today about a shooting that sent a 17-year-old boy to the hospital. Rocky Mount police say they've arrested 30-year-old Keontae Stallings and charged him in connection to the shooting. We first reported this as breaking news last night on WRAL at 10. The shooting happened shortly before 8:30 last night on Burton Street. Neighbors tell WRAL they heard at least 6 shots. The victim is in the hospital in Greenville and is listed in serious condition. Everyone in Mount Olive will have their water shut off tonight. That's so the town can repair a broken 12-inch water main. Take a look at it right here. You can see water pouring out of the ground here. The main broke days ago in front of Robert's machine shop, losing 50,000 gallons of water a day. The water will be shut off for the whole town tonight at 8 p.m. until tomorrow morning at 6. Town officials say everyone in the area will also be under a boil water mandate until Tuesday. 7 motorcyclists suffered injuries in a hit-and-run accident on U.S. 70 in Johnston County. A group of riders from Goldsboro Motorcycle Club, known as the Twisted Kings, were riding together toward Raleigh. They say the SUV merged into the group, hitting multiple people before taking off. This happened on U.S. 70 near Pine Level. The road was completely shut down for several hours after the crash. 5 of the riders were rushed to the hospital. 2 others declined to be transported. Troopers are still looking for the driver responsible. Now, they say the suspect is in a black SUV, which should have damage to his right rear end. We will continue to follow up on that story. A man is hurt after a shooting at a Raleigh hotel. Officers responded to Watford Drive shortly after 12:30 in the morning. A breaking news tracker arrived and found the perimeter of the building blocked with crime scene tape. This is what else we found out. The man was taken to the hospital with non-serious injuries. Police are investigating and say there's no threat to the public. A shooting in Raleigh's Glenwood South neighborhood sent a man to the hospital. Police responded to Glenwood Avenue and Tucker Street around 1 this morning. Video from the WRAL breaking news tracker shows the road blocked with several officers investigating at the scene. The victim's condition is still unclear. No word yet on the suspect or the motive behind the shooting. Across North Carolina, county school leaders say they need more money for facilities, staffing, and safety measures. But they don't know how much help they'll get from the state. State spending is rising, but not fast enough for counties to keep up with growing problems like damaged buildings and staffing shortages. Local leaders say they talk to state lawmakers to get along with representatives as well. But so far this session, they aren't seeing everything they need in the bills that have been moving in the legislature. WRAL's Education Insider spoke with a dozen county leaders. You can read more about what they said at WRAL.com/education. The Biden administration is launching a website for its new student loan repayment plan. This is what we're finding out about it. This is a new approach, and it comes shortly after the Supreme Court rejected the president's initiative to eliminate student debt for millions of borrowers. During the trial period, students can access the website and apply for the new program. The website will be fully functional starting next month. The president's new plan aims to reduce monthly loan payments for some borrowers and potentially decrease the overall amount they have to repay over the lifetime of their loans. This will be the last week on the job for the superintendent of Orange County Schools. In a letter on the district's website, Monique Fielder announced she's parting ways with the district. She had been in that role for 4 years. Her last day will be Wednesday. The Board of Education has appointed Dr. Jim Murrell as interim superintendent before searching for a permanent hire. Now, Murrell has previously been school superintendent in several school districts, including Wake County. Recent high temperatures don't just take a toll on people. They also add yet another challenge for our state's farmers. WRAL's Eric Miller tells us about the impact this year's weather has had on North Carolina's $100 billion agricultural industry.
Talking to farmers here at the State Farmers Market, they tell you every crop in every year is a little bit different. But with temperatures as hot as they have been, this year it's been especially difficult for corn.
Tons of tomatoes, walls of watermelons. At the State Farmers Market, everywhere you look, there's plenty of plenty.
How y'all doing today?
But getting all this to market is a hard, sweaty enterprise, especially this year as temperatures have lingered in the 90s and feels like temperatures have frequently hit the triple digits.
Well, in here, thank goodness we have our fans and we have a pretty good breeze. Back out in the field, I'm sure it's been a pretty tough year for them.
The heat and spotty rain has taken a particular toll on corn.
Yes, the rain is on and off. We haven't gotten rain in about a week, so we're having to irrigate.
Phoebe Creech with Penny's Produce says without that irrigation, this corn would have withered weeks ago. Thankfully, their farm is prepared to deal with the lack of rain.
So it would just be dry, and what the corn would not develop all the way.
Across the row at L&G Farms, Jessica Higgins says it's been a similar story for okra, with heat taking a toll.
Okra has been something that has been
that I think the weather truly affected this year.
Still, she says this farm, like the thousands of others across the state, is making do, bringing produce to market one bushel at a time. In Raleigh, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
Tonight is your last chance to take in all that GalaxyCon has to offer, how much longer the event goes for, and what you can expect to see if you go. Then the Mega Millions is even more mega, how much more money you can get if you win, and how this giant jackpot ranks in the history books. Coming up. This is a live look from top of the hill. A little cloudy right there in Chapel Hill off of Franklin Street. Hope you're having a good evening. All right, welcome back once again. This is the final day of GalaxyCon at the Raleigh Convention Center. The exhibit hall closes in about 10 minutes, or I should say it closed in 10 minutes, but the event goes on until 8 p.m. GalaxyCon Raleigh is a four-day festival celebrating comic books, pop culture, sci-fi, fantasy, anime, gaming, and much, much more. It featured a number of celebrities this year, artists and writers and panelists. But because of the SAG-AFTRA strike, actors could not discuss current or future projects. But that certainly didn't keep the crowds away. Look at the crowds right there. The attendees we spoke with gave it high marks this year, and they also support the actors and writers on strike.
With the strike that's going on right now, I completely support them, and it takes a lot for them to be able to stand up and unionize to be able to actually make a difference in the world and finally stand up after being taken advantage of for so long.
The writers definitely deserve to be paid just as much as the actors. It's very important that, because they're doing a lot of the work. I mean, actors, yes, the job is hard, but the writers work day in and day out.
I support them. I support their efforts and what they're looking for, fair pay, fair employment. And though I don't know 100% of the story, I do tend to side more with them than I would with the producers and the production companies and the studios.
Support for the writers continues to grow. Let's talk numbers right now. Visit Raleigh estimates more than 50,000 attendees will have made their way through the convention center for GalaxyCon. GalaxyCon and Wake County will have an economic impact of about $8.5 million. And time to talk money. A jackpot worth more than $1 billion is up for grab in only 2 days. The Mega Millions jackpot is now estimated to be $1.05 billion, with a cash option of just under $528 million. Now, if won, this would be the third largest jackpot in Mega Millions history. The next drawing is on Tuesday. You can watch that here at 11 on WRAL. I know a lot of eyeballs will be watching that. Anthony, we are glad that you are constantly watching the radar for us right now.
Yeah, we're kind of locked in this summer pattern, Julian, where we get the heat, we get the storms, and then they fizzle out into the evening. But I have some good news as we head into this week as far as temperatures going down just a little bit and those rain chances a little bit lower as well. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Let's get us outside, though, right now, where we have seen just a few showers pushing on through, mainly for our southern area. So that's where we're going to start right here near Carthage. Southern Pines looking rather dry at this point, but this is kind of the only batch that we've seen here. No lightning with it, no severe weather expected for us tonight, but just regular old showers and storms potentially pushing through as you're headed out into this evening and even into early tomorrow morning for some of us. There's 2 a.m. on our Monday. A lot of us waking up dry tomorrow morning. There's 8 a.m. I'll pause Futurecast there. Notice though, there still could be maybe an isolated shower for some of our northeastern counties at that point. The better chance here of some potentially more potent storms comes in tomorrow afternoon. I'll pause this again once again at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. When you see Futurecast kind of picking up on some of that pink right there showing up just to the north of Goldsboro, Raleigh, that's saying that that potential is there for some stronger storms, maybe some very heavy rainfall that sometimes indicates some small hail. I don't think we will see that tomorrow. There's 7-8 o'clock and we still have that chance. So tomorrow afternoon going to be a good one here to stay weather aware. The coverage coverage in and of itself is going to be pretty limited. I don't think this is a big time severe risk for all of us. It's just hit or miss storms that could have that severe potential as well. Our entire viewing area, though, outlined in that level 1 out of 5 risk from the Storm Prediction Center. So we'll continue to watch that here as we go into tomorrow. Excuse me. So we'll talk about that here as far as any additional rain chances in just a second. This is our other big story. So we had a cold front that came through this afternoon. Temperature wise, there's a bit of a difference. You can kind of pick out where that cold front has already worked its way through, about, let's say, 5 to 10 degrees cooler than this time yesterday. We sit right now feeling like 90 still in Raleigh, 86 in South Hill, 84 in Roxborough. So you kind of see that air trying to migrate a little bit further to the south. And this is where we are headed. So as opposed to just being off the charts hot and humid, we're going to see those temperatures actually dip a little bit below normal. Our normal is at 90 for this time of year. No day over the next couple here is going to hit that 90 degree mark. And when we look at our muggy meter over the next little while, yes, it's still up there a little bit, but comparatively to what we saw here the past week or so, where it was in that tropical category, especially how about Thursday, I think it will be a nice change. And certainly today in some spots, we already felt that difference as opposed to the feels like temperatures 100 to 105, things like that. Tropical wise, we still have one area of development, 80% chance over the next 7 days. There is an area outlined off of our coast that is not likely to develop or do anything further. There's where we're headed, 88 for us on Monday, 87 Tuesday. Julian, on the whole, I'm really loving this forecast. We're in the 80s, minimal rain chances, humidity goes down, and then next weekend back in the 90s. But soak up this weather, I think, for a lot of us.
We're going to soak it in.
Yeah.
Thanks, Anthony. Casey, the Courage, they look pretty good.
They're soaking all of the success in. How about that? Yeah, last night the Courage earned an impressive 5-0 win in their Challenge Cup match. But it's how the ladies are getting it done that continues to impress us the most. Plus, the future is bright for Duke Golf. Yes, I'll explain next.
And there is the final whistle. An unbeaten run in Challenge Cup for North Carolina that has now reached 15 games. And the last two, they've outscored their opponents 11-0, getting it done 5-0 tonight over Orlando.
It's just incredible. There's no doubt the Courage are the hottest team in the NWSL, but, you know, really it's how the ladies are getting it done, missing 6 players who are away at the World Cup. But if last night's 5-0 win over Orlando was any indication, the Courage, well, they've got plenty of depth. Now, the match marked the second consecutive in which a Courage player scored their first career goal, in which this case, Haley Hopkins, she didn't just get one, but she had her first NWSL brace. Now, for head coach Sean Dejas, it's proven this team is about more than that starting 11.
When we finished that game with, I want to say, yeah, 3 rookies on the field, 4 rookies on the field. I don't know there's many teams that can say that. So it's a credit to our players. It's a credit to our staff. It's a credit to everyone that takes care of them, that we're able to come out and still have the impact and, if anything, change the game.
We're all doing the same stuff together, so the cohesiveness doesn't change when we change the lineup. And I think that it has shown as the lineup changes.
Well, the U.S. Women's National Team back in action Tuesday morning, bright and early, taking on Portugal in the third and final match of group stage. That game starts at 3 a.m. on Fox 50. Better get your coffee ready. Well, Panthers cornerback C.J. Henderson hasn't really lived up the expectations as that 9th overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft. Henderson had played just 10 games for the Jaguars when they traded him to the Panthers in the middle of his second season. Henderson shown some flashes in a Carolina uniform, but it wasn't enough for a former top 10 pick. So the Panthers declined his 5th-year option in May. That's given Henderson a little bit of an edge, knowing he's a free agent in 2024. Could be a big year.
Just prove to myself, you know, I can stay consistent, you know, and work, you know, at the things I need to work on. You know, this contract year is big for me. They declined the 5th, but, you know, it's not the end of the world. I'm keep working and moving forward. You know, it's a make or break year, you know. I got to go out and earn mine. And, you know, my back against the wall, you know, I feel like that's when I do my best.
We'll have plenty more from the first week of Panthers training camp coming up tonight on Sports Extra. It's all on Fox 50 after the 10 p.m. news. Well, Brian Kim hadn't made match play in his first two appearances at the U.S. Junior Amateur, but after six long days in South Carolina, the incoming freshman at Duke is leaving with this trophy. The 18-year-old outlasted Joshua Bai in the weather-delayed 36-hole final match at Daniel Islands Club at Ralston Creek Course in Charleston. The victory earned Kim an exemption into the 2024 U.S. Open at Pinehurst No. 2 next June. That two-up victory also puts him in some pretty good company.
Seeing all those big names, Scottie Scheffler, Tiger Woods, Minwoo Lee, all those guys, it's amazing. Just like have my name next to theirs, I know I'm doing the right thing. And if I keep going down this road, hopefully I'll be up there with them at the end of the road.
And finally, Kerry's Justin Rest took home the silver medal in the 50-meter backstroke at the Swimming World Championships. The defending gold medalist was edged out by fellow American Hunter Armstrong, this duo boy. They've been going at it, though. 1-2 in the event for quite some time, Julian. He's still taking home some hardware, so that's pretty good still.
Yes, bring it on home. And congratulations to Brian Kim as well, an incoming freshman at Duke, doing big things already. Absolutely. Awesome. Congratulations. Thanks, Casey. And thank you for joining us tonight. NBC Nightly News is next. We'll have more local news on Fox 50 tonight at 10, and then back here on WRAL at 11. We'll see you later. Good night.